1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. In the middle of the chapter, it's the middle of a chapter that the Apostle Paul, pastoring and shepherding the Christians in Corinth, is wanting to give them warning, give them help, give them understanding about their spiritual walk, especially as it regards to sin and the temptation to sin and falling to sin. He has spoken in the earlier part of chapter 10 about the history of Israel and how Israel in its days when it was going through the wilderness, those 40 years, fell to the temptations of sin and gave in a number of places to sin, immorality, idolatry, and whatnot, even though they had great privilege and great opportunities, they did fall, they did give in. And he wants to use that as an example to the Corinthians to help them to be diligent. In verse 12, I'll read verse 12, but it's verse 13 that I want us to look at. It's a favorite memory verse of many of ours and one that we use often to encourage ourselves and encourage others. Verse 12 says this, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." And what a great encouraging verse that is. And I want us to camp on this one verse, verse 13. And set within the context, as I said, of we've been expounding through this section from verse 8, or chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, and we're coming to the end of this section about Christians in the church that are needing to come to the aid of and help other Christians because of the matter of giving in and falling to sin. There were weaker brothers, there were stronger brothers. And he's really speaking to the stronger brothers more than the weaker brothers in terms of their conscience. Weak in terms of their conscience, they're more sensitive. Strong, they're not so sensitive to certain things out there, stimulants out there that lead them and draw them into violating their conscience. But he's speaking to the stronger brothers and saying, you who are stronger need to be careful that you don't flaunt your liberties, your freedoms that result in you falling into sin as well. And that's the context he's speaking to, and he wants to encourage them, and he gives them the example of Israel, the privileges that Israel had there in verse 1 through 4, how they passed through the sea, the Red Sea, how they had Moses as their leader, how they had the Word of God given to them on the Mount Sinai. He had the law and the law given to that nation. They ate manna. They ate water from the rock. They had the Lord with them constantly. And all those privileges did not guarantee that they wouldn't fall into sin and wouldn't give in to temptations. He says, as a matter of fact, that whole generation fell for the most part and gave in to idolatry, gave in to immorality in multiple places, grumbled against the Lord, and did much evil, as you see there in verse 6. Now, these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. So there's this example that Paul is saying, looking back in the Old Testament Bible and saying, here's a situation, they had the best circumstances they could, and yet they too were weak in the flesh to where they could fall into temptation, into sin, and do evil just as you could, Corinthians. And so he's saying, just be watchful, be careful. Don't think that you stand so strong as a believer that some temptation today or tomorrow or this week might take you out and take you down and cause you to fall. There are no guarantees for good endings just because there are some good beginnings in your spiritual walk. So take heed, be cautious. But then he gives us this great encouragement here in verse 13 to say that you're not alone in this. As a matter of fact, it's not that you have other Christian brothers and sisters to help you and hold you accountable and pray for you and come alongside you and tell you, okay, watch out, be careful, and that the presence of other believers is good because that kind of keeps you in line and kind of keeps you to stay honest, to say, I'm going to answer to them. I want to stand up strong with them. I want to stand firm for their sake and for my sake. But we have something greater working on our side in this battle to not give in to temptation. It is God Himself. And verse 13 is a great promise for that. It's very hopeful for us that this Christian walk in sanctification, where we do struggle with sin, that tomorrow there's hope. This week there is hope that I don't have to give in to sin this week. I don't have to fall and then get ensnared and entangled in the same sin I did last week or last month or last year. There is hope for growth. There is hope for victory. There is hope for triumph. There is hope for escape. And that hope comes from the divine help for this battle, the divine help given to us in the midst of temptation. And it is a wonderful verse to think about and meditate on and memorize. Memorize this verse. Use this verse in your fighter verse for your own fight against sin and growth and the battles that you have every day. The Corinthians, and to the Corinthians, the stronger believers were facing and feeling free to flaunt their liberties as they're facing a life around them that was pretty much constant in the flaunting of sin in the community they've lived in. Not only in the idolatry around them and the different idolatrous practices, and we don't just think of, oh, there's a temple over there and they do certain things in the temple. All of life in Corinth was idolatrous in some manner and connected to their religious practice. Whatever that religion, whatever that God was, whatever that temple practice was, it was around them, it was part of their culture. And so a Corinthian Christian knows this and is constantly bombarded with this every day. How's he able to stand? How's he able to withstand and not give in to the idolatry and the pleasures that the idolatry throws at people? And by the way, idolatry, we're not so inclined to see it like the Corinthians did in our day. We don't have temples like that, but idolatry is still there in our heart. We still want to replace true worship of God for something else in the form of man, something else in our own liking, in our own way of doing religion, and that too is idolatrous, however you define that or however it looks like. So it's there, and it's constantly there, and the Christian needs to stand up to that. But part of that as well is the immorality that's going on and the different practice of life that is ungodly. And so regular exposure was the life of the Corinthian, just as it is for a Christian today in our community. Temptations to sin, immorality just surrounds us constantly. And they were flirting with temptations because they were not being cautious in their Christian walk. Thus he says, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Be cautious, be careful, take the warning seriously. We're surrounded by temptations. And they seem so constant, so relentless. If it's not something that's on our little tablet or on our little phone, or if it's something just staring us in the face and that we come across in a relationship, in something at work, in some cultural thing that's going on around us, or just a thought, a memory, whatever it is. It's just this constant thing that we know and understand as part of our life. It's relentless. And so overwhelming at times, it seems, to where we may ask ourselves often if it's even possible to be triumphant, especially certain sins that we have certain proclivities toward. Some might not have those proclivities, others may. We are different in some ways in that way. We're engaged at the mind and the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we know what the thoughts and intents of the heart of man are. God says in Genesis, it's only evil continually. It's evil, and then it's continually evil. And we're engaged there. We're engaged at the desires and the lusts and the cravings and pleasures of the flesh that we exist in for all our lives. And so that's there. There are true desires. There are true lusts going on. There are things that our flesh want, and it just doesn't seem to give up. It doesn't give in or give up and give in to our desire to not want those things from our mind. We read that from Romans 7. Paul's battle is there. His mind wants this, his flesh wants that, and the war is on. We're engaged at the conscience, and in our conscience, which is kind of that warning system within us to tell us, be careful, here's something that is wrong, here's something that is evil, here's something that will harm you and hurt your soul, avoid that. And we don't necessarily listen to our conscience all the time. We have to choose between what is good and evil. We have to choose between whether to listen to the conscience or not, or just say, shut up, conscience, I'm going to indulge myself here. We're engaged even in those areas that are good to us, that are generally good, like, for example, food. Food's good. And for some reason, our flesh and our nature wants to exploit that and abuse that and be gluttonous, or even in the opposite direction with those who are, you know, abusing and saying, I'm going to starve myself. And there are just things that are good, and we turn it around, and it becomes evil for us. And so there's a lot of things that we're engaged with. We feel like we withstand a temptation, only to feel like we're weak, and I only barely withstood that temptation, and I could so easily give in the next time. Did we really gain any strength by withstanding it? What's the point? It'll never stop. And add to that the constant stream of activity that's going on outside of us. Satan is there. His demons and their activities are constantly exposing us to evil and wanting us to be tripped up. He's a sophisticated weaponry and methodology that seems to transcend our ability and comprehension, and there's no point at us trying to battle that type of a spiritual onslaught and those fiery darts. We have no ability within ourselves. And it seems like we're caught before we even know we and realize we were tempted. And you add to that the world, add to that our flesh. It's like this massive coordinated system that's so subtle and wily and deceitful, so that it seems like we're in a temptation before we even know it's upon us, and we've fallen before we realize there was a fight that needed to happen. And this, what I'm describing, isn't a hopeless situation, though it sounds like it, doesn't it? This is the heart of man. This is life in the flesh. This is life in the fallen world. And the heart of man is so deceitful, desperately wicked, unable to change its own skin color, its own spots, as the leopard, that even at its best cannot put up an effective guard against the onslaught. So where do we get hope when it comes to the battle against temptation? And each time we come to the Lord's table, for example, each month, it really is an opportunity for us to kind of reassess and look back the last month. Where are the sins? Where have I fallen? Lord, I need to confess these sins and wash me and cleanse me and prepare my heart to be holy so that I might participate in the cup and the bread. And it's a great opportunity to do a little self-analysis. How did we do this time? And look ahead to the future. I'm not going to have to go through a long list next time. Maybe it's going to be shorter. I want it to be shorter next time. Am I going to face future sin and temptation with more resolve this time? Is this a time where I will say to myself, next time I want to come back and have some victories and some triumphs and less confession and regarding these besetting and entangling sins where I'm not beset by them again? And this is our hope. This is what we want. But is there hope there? Is there help there in our battle against sin? And our encouragement in this dangerous battlefield is none other than the Lord Himself being with us, equipping us, helping us, aiding us. Paul knows that and encourages these Corinthians who were in quite a city and quite a context of immorality and idolatry and everything else around them to say, you got hope too. Your hope is in the Lord because the Lord is with you in this battle. And it is encouragement for all of us to hear that. So let me walk through this verse. And I'm just going to give you four elements about temptation and the divine help, God's help for us over temptation. And you could just jot these down. I don't have a page made out for you, but it's just simple outline for you. If you find a blank page, just write these down. First is the means of temptation. The means. What is the means of temptation? He says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. The word temptation is the word pirasmos. It can also be translated tests, or trials, entrapments. We're trapped. In this case, it's used in this context of the idea of an attempt to cause someone to sin. And so there's no situation where you are now being tempted into sinning. That is something that overtakes you that is not common to man. That's not common to man. The means. Once the external test becomes a solicitation of the heart, in other words, where you're now being tempted or solicited within you to give in and act in an evil way or respond in an evil way, however that evil is defined. That's when it's turned into a temptation to sin, this test, this trial, this situation. And you can think of Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. It wasn't necessarily an evil thing that was there presented before him. It was a good thing, by the way. Food. You're hungry? You want food. That's a good thing. That test where he was hungry after all those days, that circumstance became an opportunity for the devil to solicit him to do some evil thing. And what was that? Go against what God wants and just bypass that and turn this rock into bread and you can eat. And there was the solicitation. So we think of temptation and the means of temptation. It's a way in which a test turns into solicitation of the heart to do evil. And think of it in that way, that process. Every test, every trial we're put into, every situation that we find ourselves where we're put under a stress or put under a circumstance where we're challenged in our faith or challenged in our desires, that is a situation that potentiates a temptation to a sinful reaction. And our heart is inclined to evil, and Satan just throws deception and snares at us to try to get us to give in. And so this is what we mean by temptation in the concept. And tests can be financial, where we have a financial stress. It's not necessarily an evil thing, but that financial stress squeezes us and it allows our hearts to then have a solicitation to do something evil in order to relieve that stress, whatever that is. To go steal, go rob a bank, whatever it is. It could be a financial setback where you find yourself now in debt, facing difficult spending decisions, and now you can determine to go further in debt or whatever it is. So it could be a personal disappointment, a personal relationship where you had an expectation of someone. They didn't perform according to your expectations. So you either accept that and you can respond to this particular test, this trial, with a trusting, patient heart, or instead of loving them, you can have an emotional heart and begin to feel animosity and bitterness and distrust, and therefore you're solicited in your heart to respond in a way that turns on the other person who has disappointed you. And so whatever this circumstances is, you can fill in all the blanks. Temptations all fall within that category. It could be physical illness could lead to this, an unkindness, a mistreatment, an injustice, unexpected disaster, a death in the family, plans that were thwarted, failure to accomplish something that you'd been planning and dreaming and preparing for a long time, all sorts of things, circumstances, and this temptation leading to a solicitation in your heart to do evil. And your flesh and your heart wants to then indulge itself in the evil action because it feels like that's what's best. Test could be a person or a problem or a circumstance or a feeling or a memory or whatever. So what is it that causes it to begin to solicit my heart into temptation to sin? What's going on there? Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 in verse 13. 12 and 13, I'll start there. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Okay, here's the trial, stressor. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So think in terms of Jesus right there. He's in the desert, he's in the wilderness, the devil is coming to try to solicit in his heart or solicit from him some evil action, but Jesus is in the test itself, and Jesus responded well, steadfastly, and was blessed as a result. That's our example. But verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. The test may come from God. The solicitation of evil does not come from God. Here's this tempt, the temptation. For God cannot tempt or be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person, here's what happens. Here's how this temptation happens. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by who? His own desire. There's the lust, there's the desire, there's the craving, and that's coming from my own heart, my fallen heart, my flesh. So it's my heart that's being enticed in this test to be solicited to respond in some way that indulges my fleshly desires, which are sinful desires, when I say the flesh. Then desire, when it is conceived, now it's being fed, it's being satisfied, gives birth to sin, and when sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And this is how the process goes. And so we have the experience there of temptation. It's your own lusts and desires that begin to produce the solicitation to do evil, to disobey, to disbelieve, to harm, to abuse, whatever it is, some evil response, some sinful response. So when we think of the means of temptation, we're talking about what's going on here. What is going on here? Where is it coming from? It's my own heart. And if it's my own heart, if it's my own desires, and the battle is there, the victory is not going to come from me. The victory is going to come from the Lord who comes to my aid. So by knowing the means by which temptations come upon you, then you and I are able to learn what and how we respond to these tests. How should we do that? How can we follow the example of the Lord in this and not give in? Now let me take you secondly to the nature of temptation. The nature of it. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. There's a commonality to all temptation. It's the nature of man to be tempted. And without exception. It's human. It's not supernatural. It's not some powerful thing and the devil maybe do it type of idea. No, actually, it's human to be tempted. We're fallen. They're not so demonic, these temptations, that we're helpless victims. No, as James says, it's coming from your desires. You know where the battle is. You know where the fight is. And by the way, you're not the only one who's ever experienced this. We all do. As a matter of fact, Jesus took on flesh and was tempted like us. But he did not give in. He gave us an example of how to find victory through that temptation. It's common to man. It's the same for all of us. Now, we may have individually our own peculiar besetting sins. Some may struggle in some areas of temptations that others don't. But still, we all experience temptation. And we all have the possibility or the potential to be ensnared by sin and besetting sins and fall. And so therefore, every one of us need to hear that verse in verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Every one of us needs to, because it is human to sin, it's human to be tempted, and it's human to experience these things and know these things, because it's in our desires, it's part of our heart. That's why the warning is there also in Galatians 6 that Scott had taught for the adult Sunday school this morning. Keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted, where you have the brother who sees another brother caught in transgression. You who are spiritual, you who are walking in the Spirit, you're not sinning. The other guy is. You want to go to that one as a spiritual one to restore him in a spirit of gentleness, but keep watch. You're human too. You're human too. And you might think, well, that guy struggles with that particular sin, with sexual immorality or gambling, or this one over here struggles with bulimia or something like that. I don't ever struggle with that, but watch out. Because you're made of the same nature as they are. And that flesh has a way of deceiving and making you pretty confident in yourself. Take heed lest you fall. So there's a nature to this that we all need to acknowledge. and understand. We don't need to look down on anybody. We all need to stand side by side with everybody and say, listen, I know you've fallen these and I'm not falling that, but guess what? I'm with it. I'm in the same boat with you. You're in it with me. Let's bear up each other. Let's support each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's pray for each other. The nature of temptation, that's what it is. It's human. We have our own susceptibilities to certain temptations, and we need to know those. We need to be aware of those, and we need to acknowledge those. That's kind of behind this statement, take heed lest you fall. Just know where you're weak. Know where you're vulnerable. Know where the possibilities, the potential is there, and you don't want to make provision for that. You want to be strategic in how you handle these temptations and these opportunities. It's just normal for our fallen humanists to have to deal with these things. We have to acknowledge that. So long as we live here in the flesh on this earth, we have to deal with temptations. It is human. It is common to all men. So the means by which temptation comes to us generally is through that which is human. And so how temptations happen happens to all of us because that's the way we are. We are human. And I know there's the common statement, well, sin, we're all sinners. Yeah, you're right, we're all sinners. And we all give in to sin, but we don't have to. The Christian does not have to, but it is human to fall. So don't get the idea that something is abnormal about you, that you feel certain solicitations to do evil, and if I give in to that, oh no, what's wrong with me? You're human, that's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with all of us. Third, the extent. Here's the great promise. There's an extent of the temptation. There's only going to be a certain level that you're going to be allowed to have to face. Isn't that hopeful? What a blessing. What a great truth to know this. And he says here, God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. What a great promise is that. There is hope right there in the battle with temptation. This is not a hopeless situation where I'm going to give in all the time because I just don't have the strength. Okay, you're human, but you have God. Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? You have a number of things working in your favor. You're born again. You have a new nature. The old nature gave in all the time because it was a slave to sin. It was a slave to whatever temptation was thrown at it. It just had to have this, and it couldn't stop itself. But you have a new nature as a believer now. You have a new heart, and God has set you free from that bondage and enabled you to walk in righteousness. That's a great benefit. Secondly, you have the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit is working actively to do one thing, to make you holy, to change you from that old nature way and the patterns of the old fleshly way into something different that is like Christ. So you got great resources on your side. There's great hope in this fight against temptation and sin. The temptations will still be there. The flesh is still there, but you've got a lot of arsenal working on your side that is divine. It's from the Lord. And I love the idea here that Paul says, God is faithful. You know what that says? God is not passive in this. He's not passive. He's not unparticipatory in the process of tests and trials and temptations and solicitations to evil in your life. He's not sitting back watching and waiting, you blew it again. Well, what am I going to do with you? No, he's actually there in the midst of it, walking with you faithfully. Faithfully. He knows you. He knows your proclivities. He has a plan in your life to be secure in Christ for eternity. He will not let you fall so far beyond that you cannot be recovered. No, that's not allowed in his book. He's not going to let that temptation take you beyond your ability to where you're not going to be able to stand and you will fall and you'll be taken from him. Never. He'll never allow you to go into any kind of temptation which is more than you are at any given point of your spiritual life able to handle. So he has the resources, and he's setting the boundaries on this. This is the extent of it, and it's a hopeful one. He puts limits on the extent, and he's faithful to you for your good, for your sanctification, for your preservation, for your protection. And the question is, but I keep falling into this sin. Okay, But he hasn't let you, and he hasn't cast you away because of that. He's still with you. He's faithful. Yeah, I've proven myself unfaithful many times to him, but he's faithful to me, and he stays, and he continues, and he's committed to sanctify you. And so that is an encouragement to me to get back up, put the armor of God back on, and get back in the fight, and be faithful to him and serve him in that way. It's not a true statement for a Christian to say that there are some sins that they cannot overcome in their life that they've experienced and cannot withstand and cannot resist. I suppose, based upon the statement here, there are some things that each of us cannot withstand, which is why he doesn't allow us to experience them. But the things he does allow, a Christian cannot say, that's too much for me. God has made a mistake in this one. No, he will not let that happen. So, for example, let's say the alcoholic who is a Christian, the person who may think this urge to drink is so much part of my chemistry, so much part of my brain, so much part of my body that the urge is too strong, I cannot overcome it. If you're a believer, God has given you the help to resist that and to stand up over it. Oh, it's going to be hard. This is not a statement that, oh, this is going to be real easy to walk through this. But it is a promise that it will not go too far for you, and God will be faithful and stand by you and help you and aid you, whatever the situation is, whatever the sin is that is part of your life. So that's an encouragement. That's the extent. And number four, the way. There's a way out of temptation. Not only is he setting the boundaries and the extent of this, but as we go into the temptation, he's right there with us. And it says this, but with the temptation, or together with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Okay, this some words here we need to pick apart a little bit. The way out. There's always a path to victory over temptation if you're a Christian. There is no path to victory if you're not a Christian. The only path you have, the only hope you have is to get saved from sin. But now that you are saved from sin as a Christian, there is a path, always. He says, with the temptation, and in the midst of this temptation, you're being solicited to respond in evil again. There is an escape hatch, in other words. There is a way to get out of this. And God is the one providing that. He provides the way of escape. That you may be able to endure under this pressure. There's the Holy Spirit working. There's commitment to God to help you in that direction. So there's a parachute. There's a way out of the solicitation to sin. He is not determined to take you out of the temptation, by the way, in the sense of, I'm not going to let you have to experience these temptations ever again. That's not the promise here. With the statement, but with the temptation, it implies there's going to be temptations in your life. You're human, still in the flesh. You're going to live this life, and not till glory will you escape that reality. But with the temptation, as you experience these common human things, God is there providing an escape so that you don't have to give in to the solicitation. That's a great promise. It's a great thing to know. It's a wonderful thing to know. And it becomes a situation where, okay, where's the escape? How do I escape? How do I avoid giving in? How can I be strong at that moment when I feel so weak? How is God helping me out? Our prayers are, Lord, lead us not into temptation, right? Which he will not. He's not going to lead us into temptation, but then again, deliver us from evil. We're in the midst of the solicitation of evil. Should I respond with evil? And we ask him, Lord, deliver me from giving into that. Help me in this time. Which means we're asking for aid to rescue us from giving in to the moment where we're in the midst of the temptation. This is the promise that Paul is saying that God has given, and he's faithful to us in this way. There's a way out. This is the means by which you may escape from a danger or the difficulty. It's not to avoid all temptations, like I said, which is impossible so long as we're still on this earth. But there is a plan to endure through the temptation. In other words, that you may be able to endure it, that last line there, the way out is of temptation is to go through it by the strength of the Lord. Through it by the aid of the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, relying on the Lord. While I am weak, He is strong. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is what helps you in your weakness. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. So in the midst of the temptation and the assault of the enemy and the flesh and the world, we have God strengthening us and helping us and aiding us to go through and take the path of escape. Stressful situation comes. The trial arrives. You find yourselves in it. You resist the solicitation of evil. You call on God's aid to endure the trial for the good that God has for it. And the way out is to take it as a test and a trial. Don't internalize it that you begin to solicit sin within you and make provision for the flesh, this is a trial. This is a test that I can be proving myself faithful to the Lord and trust myself to the Lord and prove His word to be true here and depend on Him in prayer and to make use of the resources and the equipping that He's given me at this time that I'll be able to stand up over this. Endure it. This word means to get under it and carry it. So the temptation is there, the weight of the temptation, the pressure, and He gives us the strength to bear the weight of it without falling and giving in to it. And usually we're looking for a quick and easy route out, and this isn't the promise here. A quick, easy way out. No, there's just an escape through it, depending on His strength and His faithfulness. We ask God to take it away so we don't have to endure the battle anymore. He actually may want us to go through this trial and this test to endure the battle, depending on Him, not giving in to solicitation to do evil. So the only way through it, or to victory over it, is to go through it by the strength of the Lord. So how do I do that? How do I endure it? Let me give you four things that we know from Scripture that have taught us about how to take advantage of the escape hatch in this case. First, by meditating on the truths of God's Word. We have God's Word to fill our mind and fill our heart, to teach us and to help us. What did Jesus depend on? What did Jesus do in the time of temptation? Immediately, His mind meditating on His Word. Meditating and thinking of His Word and using His Word in that time to use it like a sword in the battle. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have stored up Your Word in my heart that I might not sin against You, that I might not give in to the solicitation of evil at that moment. So the Word of God is given to us by Him. And what we need to do at that moment is you don't listen to your lusts. You don't listen to the flesh telling you, you need this, you got to do this. You don't listen to the solicitations. Instead, you turn to God and listen to Him. You heed what He says. You meditate on that. You cling to that. You obey that. Second, you pray. You pray. I endure in temptation by praying. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. That's what the Lord tells us. To ask on the Lord to help, turn to God, to help. You need divine help, to cry out to Him, to keep the tests and trials and stresses from becoming a solicitation of evil that leads me into sin, but instead becomes a moment to give glory to God, a moment to rely on His strength, a moment to honor Him with trust and faith and hope in Him. You need to pray, and you need to call on God. He wants you to. He's going to be faithful. He's going to be there with you. And you need to respond with that intimate prayer life. And so this is a time to draw near to God rather than to give in to sin. Third, engage the shield of faith. This is where Ephesians in the chapter 6 there, the armor of God, is helpful to teach us a little bit. The armor of God where the enemy is attacking. The enemy is throwing darts and arrows at us. And what does that look like? The fiery darts, those things, the schemes of the devil, those things that he's throwing at us are really an attack on our mind. I mean, they might think, okay, he's throwing a temptation here by this image on the computer screen or on the television. okay, yeah, in some ways, but really he's working right here. He's throwing thoughts contrary to the truth, to Christ, contrary to the gospel, contrary to the promises. They're mental assaults that are coming at you. And you understand that God has a purpose. You understand that you've got to trust God for that purpose in this trial, and therefore you put up the shield of faith. I believe God, rather than believing what the devil is throwing at me at this time or what the world is telling me at this time. I need to put up the shield of faith. This is an act of trust in God and faith in God and His Word. So you have the Word of God, meditating, you have prayer, engage the shield of faith, and fourthly, I think even most important of all, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on Him. He endured temptation. You can see this in the book of Hebrews as they struggled in their temptations, in their trials, and the promises are given here. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers, Hebrews 2:17, in every respect, so that He might become a merciful, faithful, and high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of His people. Because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. And what we're called to do is to focus on Christ, fix our eyes on the Lord, the upward call of Christ, and see Him as our example, and see Him also as our sympathetic high priest. And then the trial and the difficulties we endure, and the solicitation again that's on our heart again, and calling our flesh to indulge itself, we turn our eyes and we focus to Christ and we cry out to our high priest. You know what I'm going through. Strengthen me for this hour, Lord. You've endured this, Lord. You've gone through even worse than I have. Give me aid. Give me help. Give me strength. Do you think He'll come to your aid at that moment? Do you think He'll come to you and nurture you through the test, strengthen you, embolden you, build up your faith, bring remembrance of Scripture to your mind, and bring remembrance of His character and who He is and what His plans are for your life? I believe He will. Focus on Christ. Focus on our faithful high priest. Be in prayer. And this is the battle. This is what spiritual warfare actually is. This is where it's at the ground at this moment. You do battle. You do work. It's the heart of the believer to turn his mind on the Lord, on the Word, and prayer, and engage this fight. See, when we fall into temptation and into sin, it's not because we're helpless victims. It's because we make bad choices at the moment. We're solicited. And we choose at that moment to give in. And it's a challenge at that point of strength. Is our strength in the Lord? Or do we say, I give up. I can't handle this temptation. I want this sin in my life. I need this sin in my life. I need to respond this way. I need to react this way. I need to indulge myself. And we're making a choice at this point. And we choose not to turn to the Word of God, right, when we give in. We rather listen to our heart, listen to our lusts, listen to the voices of our flesh, maybe listening to philosophies of the world out there or other counsels telling us to do this, or you need this, or you must have this, rather than listening to the Word of God. And that entices us into that sinful reaction. We choose not to cry out to God and ask Him to lead us away from this solicitation, deliver us from committing this evil, and rather we pursue evil because we wanted the cravings. We like these feelings. We like these indulgences. So we choose not to cry out to God, but we listen to the voice of the temptation and we hear it and we respond to it like it's our new shepherd. We turn away from God and fail because we took our attention away from Christ at this point as our high priest, and we turn in on ourselves or whatever it is. And so this is what happens when we give in to sin. It happens so often, doesn't it? It's part of us. It's our nature. So next time you come back to the Lord's table, or next time you come to the Lord in confession of sin, you want that list. You want that list to be shorter. Maybe just one less this next time. And praise God if it's one less. Don't get disheartened if you have more. If there doesn't seem like there's a lot of progress, there's hope here in this passage. There's hope in God. He's faithful. He will not give up. He will not give in. He will not throw you to the side because you failed here or you gave into that temptation again. And it seems like certain sins that we have a proclivity towards, we just constantly keep going over and over, and we convince ourselves over time that it's impossible to win this. It's impossible to win this. I'm a hopeless case. No one's a hopeless case. God is the faithful one involved in here, and He has provided a way of escape, and He will aid you. You want the list to be shorter, and we can be confident the Lord will help us if we call to Him and His Word. You know you can stand up over those temptations because sin no longer has dominion over you. God has dominion over you. You have the power to obey the commands, those imperatives. You have the power to endure through the tests. And God has given you a heart of faith that He wants to grow that. It may be little faith at times. He wants to grow it to make it strong faith. And He will. He will. And this is the key. This is the battle that we want to see happening in our life as we continue on. So, divine help over temptation to sin. Great hope for the believer as we think about our battles. Okay, let's close this in prayer. Lord, I do thank You for coming to our aid and being our help, being our blessed, merciful, sympathetic High Priest. Lord, we all know, we all in this together, we all know the temptation to sin, the solicitations that are there, the advertisements, the commercializing of sin that is tailored to appease our flesh, to appease our wants, our lusts, and our desires. And it is evil to give in. It is evil to practice those things. We know this, Lord. We've experienced it. We continue to. It will be with us tomorrow. It will be with us next week. And we desperately need Your help. And You have promised us in Your Word to be faithfully there for us, providing a way of escape, providing us the truth we need to know, answering our prayers, aiding us with protection. You will not allow the devil to go too far in our life. You will not allow these temptations to overtake us. You have taken over us. We belong to You, Lord, and You have designed for all of us who are believers to be fully sanctified and glorified one day, and to grow and mature and to see that list that we come before You to confess sin, and on the day that we stand and take up the bread and cup and confess our sins, You want us to come up a little less each time and to continue to deal with temptation. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness to us, aiding us, and I just ask, Lord, that You continue to work in each of our lives. Bless this time as we pray that Christ might be glorified. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.